You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening Ashe. To Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at Time for an Awakening. You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good weekend, getting a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping, too, that the weather is accommodating for you to do it. But, of course, if it is not, and it has to get done, it must get done, you will get it done. Because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. And that's why we love you and have great admiration for you and respect for you. Because you don't procrastinate, you get it done. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled, thanks to my good brother, Brother Kwaku. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening, once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And all of the times are going to give our Eastern times. On Thursdays, from 8 p.m., Monday and Wednesday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., Our Story with Baba Wes Johnson of New Orleans. Our Story with Baba Wes Johnson out of New Orleans. Monday and Wednesday at from 7 to 9. Thursday, from 8 to 10, the Black Liberation Movement with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club on Thursdays from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. On Fridays, today at 8 p.m. this evening, it will be Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Sunday, from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Sunday, Pinckney to Pinckney with activists and Reverend Edward Pinckney out of Benton Harbor, Michigan. Pinckney to Pinckney from 5 to 6. And then at 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. All right, family. I'm going to go into the Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Baba Baruti and Baba wasn't here Wednesday, of course, and I hope you had a chance to listen to a previous recording with Baba Baruti. Yeah. Love Baba Baruti. Appreciate him tremendously. So we're going to read from the Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Since we were not here, we'll read the day before, which was the 21st, all the way to tomorrow, the 25th. If you must bleed, let it come all at once. Rather die freedmen than live to be slaves. If you must bleed, let it come all at once. Rather die a free man than live like a slave. Henry Highland Garnett, a Jegna, of course you know what a Jegna is. A Jegna is a person who gives instructions, a person who guides you, motivates, inspires you. A Jegna by the name of Kamal Kamban used to listen to my program. He got others to listen, especially like Baba Butch. Baba Kamal Kamban made his transition, I believe it was last year.
A gentleman by the name of Kambal Kamban encapsulates the slow, systematic death many Africans who have fully internalized this captivity mindset, the mentality committed against themselves in the term subtle suicide. Simply put, subtle or durational suicide is a process where severely oppressed individuals, too afraid of death to immediately end their own lives or those of their oppressors, resort to engaging in practices which are destructive to their minds and bodies and destined to eventually kill them. Whether consciously or not, they develop and nurture habits and addictions such as drugs and alcohol, excessive, unsafe, and confused sex, gluttonous diets of salt and sugar, and idleness that allows the brain and the body to bloat and atrophy from doing little more than watching the idiot box while laid out on a couch. With time, any of all of these self-administered poisons will give those ignorant of self or afraid of being who they are what they want, a permanent way out of their responsibilities to their people and out of this insanity. Suicide, subtle or otherwise, is not an option for warriors. Let me say that again. Suicide, subtle or not, is otherwise not an option for warriors. For those fully conscious of being at war and cognizant of the responsibilities to their people suffering in it, it is an unacceptable, cowardly act committed not against oneself, but against our people. Affirm, I live as a warrior and I will die as a warrior. Affirm, I live as a warrior and I will die as a warrior. January 22nd. The white man regards the universe as a gigantic machine hurtling through time and space to its final destination. Individuals in it are but tiny organisms with private lives that lead to private deaths. Personal power, success, and fame are the absolute measures of value, the things to live for. Anton Lembede. Africans have no fear of death, that is, as the ending of things. We understand.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
We understand ourselves as spirit, and spirit has life and death. We understand it has a transition to a higher state of being. We revere aging, not only because of the wisdom that naturally accompanies it, but also because, like infants who have just left the spirit of the world, elders who are approaching it are closer to it, thus becoming more psychologically integrated with it. Circulatory is the basis of our thinking. Physical death does not end life. We move on to another realm in another spiritual form, if you will, and return again through the act of procreation as human beings. Affirm, I fully integrate in life cycle. Affirm, I fully integrate into life cycle. January 23rd. Everything ignoble among African people can be traced back to European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege, white supremacy. Clarence Mumford. Africans raised in European culture are a byproduct of that culture. That culture and its society are responsible for their victims' malcreation. And this malcreation is a direct result of their insatiable need to exploit and abuse others while at the same time remaining blameless. In this racist context of domination and oppression, the mind that fabricated white supremacy defines and it is responsible for virtually everything good and bad that comes to African people. And because this psychopathic racist personality interprets African people as enemy, competition, and ironically superior, the destructive forces unleashed on us are specifically they're doing. Let me say that again so y'all understand why we are not our own worst enemy. And what happens is is by design, by them. And because this psychopathic racist personality interprets African people as enemy, competition, and ironically superior, the destructive forces unleashed on us are specifically their doing. The climate of racist hierarchy established in European society and the predatory prey character of the European and cultural Sealy personality makes it only natural for the ignoble to be perpetrated against and thereby concentrating among African people. From this, we are led to two possible logical conclusions. When you have truly rigorously dissected and analyzed the historical behavior of a conscienceless, blood-sucking parasite and have come to the logical scientific conclusion that the parasite absolutely cannot live without killing its victim, you also must conclude, that is, if you want its victim to live for more than just to procreate more victims for the parasite, that parasite must be removed from contact, if possible, or existence when necessary. Affirm, I know the source of all ignoble among my people. I know the source of all ignoble among my people. January 24th. Each generation must assume the responsibility of securing their manhood, their womanhood, the definition of their being on earth, that in the final analysis is nationhood. The Honorable Nana Dr. John Henry Clark, who we celebrate this weekend at the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilization, ASCAC. Dr. Clark. Freedom, a self-determining dynamic power, is a permanent responsibility. It requires constant care and tension. It must be guarded for the entirety of its existence. This fact is what makes our quest to ensure our liberation endless. It will never stop except we stopped. And if we stop, our liberation will be lost, possibly forever. There is nothing in the universe which says a people who become willfully enslaved cannot remain so until they are genetically and genocidally removed from existence. And one generation cannot guarantee its progeny its liberation. One generation cannot guarantee its progeny its liberation. It can provide the wisdom and means to gain or sustain liberation, but it cannot force a generation to want to be free through its own volition. An adult cannot be made to stand by his or her parents. Affirm, I assume responsibility for our freedom. Ashe. I assume responsibility for our freedom. January 25th. When a man decides to do something, he must know first why he is doing it, and then he must proceed with his actions without having doubts or remorse about them. Diamond Mateus, a Yakwik Native American tribe. When Asafo are young people or young warriors, when Asafo decides to be warriors, there can be no question as to what they are doing and why they're doing it, who it will negatively impact relative to the positive effect on African people, or how long it will take to defeat the enemy. Warriors must know why they are doing what they are doing in order to give their best effort. It must come from the heart, or their efforts will suffer tremendously. No one knows when this war will end. It will end when it is done. And that is when African people are liberated from the shackles of others, oppressive thoughts and actions. So it is not the warrior's place to decide when to stop fighting. It is the warrior's job to do battle until it is done, whenever that is. There is no room for questions about the possibilities of success, considerations, or regret about what life might have been like if a lesser path had been maintained or taken, or concern over lives taken on the battlefield. Such questions automatically become irrelevant the moment a warrior decides to crush evil and place the destiny of his or her spirit in the hands of divinity. Affirm, I proceed without doubt or remorse. Affirm, I proceed without doubt or remorse. Brothers and sisters, the Inya Sesim of daily revolutionary thought. I tell you, Baba Baruti. Putting those together for two volumes, and he's going to proceed with another Inya Sesim probably next year. I know this year just started, but that's what he told us. That's what he told us. Yes. We're going to talk today about, brothers and sisters, we're going to talk today about ASCAC, the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilizations. You're going to learn about what ASCAC is. And of course, we have a regional conference. We're here in the Atlanta area, which is the southern region, which is Georgia, Tennessee. It's not Kentucky, though. Kentucky is in the Midwest region. I don't know why. But Tennessee, Mississippi, Louisiana, Alabama, Florida, just the southern region. And the conference is today, the 24th through the 26th. It begins this evening. Reception has been, because the school is closed, so we're going to have a virtual reception, you know. And the Southern Region Conference. Deep thought and wisdom teachings of the Honorable Dr. Nana John Henry Clark, past, present, and future. The conference will tomorrow be at George Washington Carver High School in Columbus, Georgia, commemorating the 110th birthday of Dr. John Henry Clark. 10 years ago, when he was 100, marking 100th birthday, I had just moved here to Atlanta months prior and attended the conference. We went to, after having the conference in Atlanta, we took a caravan to Columbus, to his gravesite. And that's what we're going to do again on Sunday. We're going to go to his gravesite and have a ceremony. And that will end the conference. And the conference hotel is the Courtyard Marriott in Phoenix City Riverfront. That's like, you know, Columbus is like right on the border of Georgia and Alabama. And so this, once again, the reception is not going to be in person. So it's going to be on... on the computer, and it's a community reception. It'll start with a drum call starting at 6:30 this evening, and libation. No, I'm not going to do the libation. Yeah, good. Nakia McDonald of the Southern Region, she's going to do it. And then the anthem will be sung, that every voice and sing. And then the welcome by our dear sister Reba Kelsey. She's the Southern Region president. And then some people from the school. And then Columbus community. And a representative doctor from Dr. Clark's family. Then a video for the people. Dr. John Henry Clark, Harlem, part two. That's interview with Lester Velt Middleton, and you've heard me speak about Lester Velt Middleton. This video is from 1980. Lester Velt Middleton interviewed many of our people, many of our great scholars, Ivan von Sertima, Dr. Finch, so many. Dr. Ben, he's interviewed the greats, the old scrappers. Then it's going to be some discussion, and that'll close the Friday session out. And then on Saturday, there's a video at 8 a.m., followed by a drum call and libation. And once again, Debbie Voice and Sing, and then another welcome by our dear sister, Sister Reba Kelsey. And then a plenary one, Dr. Jihad Hood. If history is our clock, and the truth be told, he's got about a half hour. And then plenary two, Jammu Concept and Keti's instructions, population politics and their implications in Congo and African Great Lake Basin. That's Brother Sam Livingston out of Morehouse College, Dr. Sam Livingston. Then plenary three, lessons from Dr. John Henry Clark. And that's Dr. Catherine Adams of Claflin University. I wonder if we're going to be at Claflin. I know that's where we were last year. I'm not sure if we're going to be at George Washington Carver. I'm not sure it's going to be at the Carver High School. But I know we were at the university the last time we were here 10 years. Recently, though, that was not 10 years ago. That was about 5 or 6 years ago, right before the pandemic. Then there's going to be a collegiate panel, Thinking Spiritually, the Impact of Local Organizing in South Carolina during the Civil Rights Movement. And there's our students here. They're at the Claflin College. Remembering Kemet, Reflections from the 2023 Study Tour. There's a study tour in ancient Kemet. I mean, a study tour in Kemet. Remember, family, if you can, please remember that Egypt is what the Greeks called it. Kemet is what they call themselves. Remember. Okay? Yeah. Egypt is what the Greeks called it. Kemet is what they called themselves. And Kemet means land of the blacks. Okay. Have me something to drink here. Okay, then the high school panel. All this is one day, family. 11:15 high school panel, and then I happen to be named after Dr. John Henry Clark, and you have a number of students from KEPP, K-I-P-P, KEPP Collegiate High School. Some of you might be familiar with the KEPP's program. That's an African Center Community School. The next workshop is Reclaiming Spirituality, Dr. Clark's Vision for African Empowerment. Pan-African, Dr. John Henry Clark, yes he was. He said it, Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. That's the model of this program right here. Pan-African perspective, that's our motto. Pan-Africanism or perish, unify or die. Cultural and societal change for everyone. And then the last workshop under this plenary is Dr. Clark's role for history and social change. Plenary 4, Dr. Mario Beatty, president of ASCAC. And then there'll be Liberation Lessons from Dr. John Henry Clark's Africana Global Lens. So that's Plenary 4, Liberation Lessons from Dr. John Henry Clark's Global Lens. And that's Dr. Mario Beatty, the president of ASCAC. Then there's lunch, Dr. Clark video playing. And then Plenary 5, Family Reflections. Lily Hobbs is one of his niece, Dr. John Henry Clark, nephew. Vanessa Haslam, great niece. And Dr. Lethia Watkins, Mario Beatty's wife, out of Howard University. Yeah, they're all at Howard. Dr. Beatty, Dr. Clark, and of course, Dr. Carr. Plenary 6, the importance of Dr. John Henry Clark's views on the power of African womanhood. And that's Dr. Malithia Watkins. That's her plenary. Mario Beatty's wife. That's plenary number 6. That's hers. The importance of Dr. John Henry Clark's views on the power of African womanhood. Plenary 7th, Julian Edmonds. He's a student at Columbus State University, STEMS, Economics and Civilization. Plenary 8, Dr. Chiki Akua, our good friend at Clark College University, Dr. Chiki Akua. KEPRA, Ancient Kemetic Concepts in Education and Transformation. Plenary 9, Dr. Bernie Goldman, who's at Columbia, South Carolina. Misplaced Medical Mistrust, Slave Medicine, and Eugenics. Plenary 10, Dr. Nana John Henry Clark, a Western Hemispheric, and that's brother Dr. Heru, my good brother. That's right, Dr. Heru. Plenary 11, Dr. Clark taught me how Dr. John Henry Clark's teachings influenced my math teaching. That's Akil Parker out of Philadelphia, my good brother Akil Parker out of Philadelphia. Yeah. So, and then Dr. Akil Parker was 11. Dr. Clark taught me how Dr. Clark's teachings influenced my math teaching. Yeah, he's a great math teacher, and he has videos, and he's online. So if your child is having problems with math, yeah, I can give you that information. So, you know, we created Matherflow. Plenary 13, this is the last one, and that's symbolic. Remember, the number 13, the number of transformation. 12 completes the cycle, 13 begins anew. The number of transformation. And plenary 13 belongs to Dr. Greg Kamathi Carr out of Howard, ASCAC's first vice president, along with Dr. Mario Beatty. Dr. John Henry Clark versus everybody. Struggle has a Sabbat. Dr. John Henry Clark versus everybody. I love it. Yeah. I love when he told that, what's her name, his ass up. Yeah. And then some closings on Saturday, on tomorrow. And then, of course, the Sunday, a tour, a driving tour of Columbus, Georgia's American-African historical sites. And then, of course, on Sunday at 12, the gravesite ceremony. Yeah. Dr. John Henry Clark. Yeah, Mama Marimba was there 10 years ago. She's in Africa. So, ASCAC, the Association for the Study of Classical Civilizations. Okay, gotta know about who ASCAC is. ASCAC provides a body of knowledge that continuously contributes to the rescue, reconstruction, and restoration of African history and culture. Our purpose is to promote the study of African civilizations for the development for the development of an African worldview. Our aim is to build African-centered study groups and strengthen existing institutions. Our goal is to provide excellence in all dimensions of our association. Our struggle is to use our accumulated knowledge for the liberation of African people wherever they may be. Our commitment is to the truth. Our achievements and accomplishments will provide the resources necessary for ASCAC to grow to be recognized as a world-class African organization. We, the men and women of ASCAC, are guided by the following virtues. These virtues describe our organization as we want it to be. We want every decision and action in our association to demonstrate these values. We believe that putting our values into practice creates long-term benefits for ourselves, our children, and for generations yet to come. Ashe. Yeah. Okay. Hey, Brother Kwaku, how you doing, man?
Doing well, brother. How are you?
I'm well, man. Thank you so much, man, for all that you do, man. Believe me.
No problem, brother. All right. I just got your message, but we'll talk after the program.
You bet. Okay.
All right.
I know he just calls some time to listen. Sometimes he calls to contribute, but he's always listening. Well, he's the engineer of the program, so he's always listening and doing things. ASCAC Executive Committee is President Dr. Mario Beatty. The first vice president is Brother Greg Kamathi Carr. The second vice is Dr. Joy Harneman out of the West Coast. Secretary is Dr. Yasantewa Blake. Treasurer, Brother Jerome Boykin. And a member, Miss Ife Carruthers, Dr. Jacob Carruthers, an esteemed board member, his wife. The presidents, the regional presidents, the Eastern region is Modell Gault. The Mid-Atlantic, Ron McCoy. The Midwest, Sister Rosetta Cash. The Southern, Sister Reba Kelsey. And the Western, Brother LeGrand Clegg. Brother LeGrand Clegg, yeah. I had a video when Black Men Ruled. At the time, it was a great video. Yeah, Brother LeGrand Clegg, he's in L.A. But the videos, Black Men Ruled, and it's interesting because they were so young then, and looked at him and looked at Renoco, how young he looked. Yeah, he's an ancestor, of course, my good brother Renoco Rashidi, and Dr. Charles Finch, a few others, you know, yeah. Great group of men and women in ASCAC. The Council of Elders, Dr. Leonard Jeffries, his wife, Dr. Rosalind Jeffries, Elder McCullough, And then Chester Spears, Mother Vanna Baker, Baba Richard Moriba Kelsey, that's Dr. Kelsey, who will be 100 years old. Will be 100 years old. And his wife, Barbara Kelsey, and Mother Maxine Mims. Those are our Council of Elders. Commission Chairpersons, Spiritual Development, yes. Saba Yvonne Jones out of Chicago. Education, Latrell Thornton. Research, Dr. Anderson Thompson, who's an ancestor, Andy Thompson. And Larry Crow, Brother Larry Crow out of Dayton, Ohio. Outstanding, good man. This is great, good brother. Man. Of course, if you want to know anything about Martin R. Delaney, he's the one. Great work. In fact, they do an annual thing with going to his gravesite, Martin R. Delaney. Creative production, Dr. Joy Harneman, and Rosalind Jeffries. The virtues of ASCAC. We are an African people. We walk in the footsteps of our ancestors. We treat one another with respect, recognizing the significant contributions that come from diversity of individuals and ideas. We create an environment of cooperation, openness, creative challenge, and development. These are ASCAC's virtues, family. We encourage and build study groups. We believe in respecting African people by listening to requests, understanding concerns, and providing the intellectual weaponry to define, defend, and develop ourselves. We regard our institutional members as essential ASCAC members. We owe our institutional members the same type of respect that we show to our study groups. Our institutional members deserve fair and equitable treatment, clear agreements, and an honest response to their effectiveness. We consider our members' needs and requirements in conducting all aspects of our research and study. We demonstrate integrity in all that we do. We are personally accountable for high standards of behavior, honesty, and fairness in all aspects of our work. We strive to fulfill our commitments as conscious Africans, dedicated and devoted workers. We are responsible and reliable, truthful and accurate, decisive and diligent in the effective use of ASCAC and study group resources. We take responsibility for the distinction and quality of our work. We deliver excellence and continue to strive for perfection. We define distinction as an intellectual freedom and quality as achieving the best for our people. That's why, to me, you know, that's why, to me, those who have worked with ASCAC, those who ASCAC has supported or give noted to, such as Dr. Shikanze Jop and so many others who are ancestors, their work is beyond reproach. But yet still, family, yet still you have Urugu doing whatever the hell they want to do, and particularly as it relates to Kemet. You have those people who have came into Kemet, the Arabs, defining themselves as the original people, which is so far from the truth, it's ridiculous. And what they do sometimes, if they appear on your Facebook page or when you have, you know, you go to Facebook and you see all the stuff that is posted. I get a post that says Dr. John Henry Clark, and I get the most ugly, ridiculous stuff. I don't know if you do, but man, I get incensed when I see it. You have Caucasian women, Caucasian people. You have lesbians. You have women naked. Now, I ain't say naked, but they got panty and bra on, I guess, bikini. It just, with Dr. Clark, this is blasphemous. This is just disgusting. This is blasphemous. You know, to have Dr. John Henry Clark and you see his silhouette and when he, you know, that profile one, and then you see that. Man. We take responsibility for the distinction and quality of our work. We provide leadership as an organization and as individuals. We lead through competence, creativity, and collective consciousness. Let me say that again. We lead through competence, creativity, and collective consciousness. ASCAC leadership is found on progressive scholarship, innovative ideas, and community activism. We are scholars, scientists, artists, students, and determined workers. Our mission is to reclaim our history through research, enlighten our people through education, and inspire our people through science and spiritual development, and raise our consciousness through creative production. Our continued success requires developing people and rewarding their achievements. Therefore, we recognize it as a responsibility of all of us to educate and develop ourselves as well as those whom we lead, touch, and influence. ASCAC. Those are the virtues, family. Okay. So, if you want to become a member of ASCAC, so I'm trying to find them. There we are. We're back at home to the ASCAC page. Yeah. The Association for the Study of Classical African Civilization is an independent study group organization founded in 1984 by Dr. John Henry Clark, Dr. Asa Hilliard, Dr. Leonard Jeffries, Dr. Jacob Carruthers, Dr. Joseph Ben-Jochanan, and Malana Karinga. That is devoted to the rescue, resurrection, and restoration of African history and culture. It is an organization that provides the opportunity for African people to educate other African people about their culture. ASCAC was founded by scholars with ties to American African communities in New York, Chicago, Atlanta, and Los Angeles, and derives its membership from African American Africans across the class, occupational location. The organization has since expanded into an international organization with members in regions representing the continental United States as well as Caribbean, African, and Europe. ASCAC has four commissions which advance this agenda: education, research, spiritual development, and creative production. Along with creating new study groups throughout the world, ASCAC holds an annual conference, operates a youth enrichment program, and is editing a comprehensive study in history of Africa. So you know who the founders are now. the African, the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilization, ASCAC, was initially conceptualized and developed during the first annual Ancient Egyptian Studies Conference in Los Angeles in 1984. In attendance was John Henry Clark, Asa Hilliard, Leonard Jeffries, Doc Ben, Lana Karinga, and Dr. Carruthers. Yeah. I know that ASCAC went to Kemet. I think it was 86. And I know a number of people who have transitioned, who went there. Brother Bill Taylor in Milwaukee was a news, well, he came to Milwaukee from Chicago with WVON in Chicago and then WNOV in Milwaukee. Then he was a broadcaster on the NBC affiliate, WTMJ Channel 4 in Milwaukee. Brother Bill Taylor, he made his transition last year. Yeah, good brother. I worked with him in a lot of community fundraising efforts and so forth. Just a really good brother. Truly be missed. He went on that pilgrimage along with Brother Ron Pounds. Ron Pounds was a brother that helped me and him and three other brothers. Dr. Rogers, who made his transition 2 years ago, creating 100 Black Men of Milwaukee. Started out as me and another brother, we were talking about it and decided to organize, and then we got others involved, and Dr. William Rogers. Yeah. They made their transitions. Yeah. But those two brothers made that pilgrimage to Kemet. It was very historic. And I wish I could have. Yeah. We're going to take a break in a minute here. When we come back from the break, we'll talk more about ASCAC. And, of course, the regions of ASCAC, and of course, once again, we'll go over what's going to happen this weekend in Columbus, Georgia, which is southwest of Atlanta, right on the border between Georgia and Alabama. So, you stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com. Thank you.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. yes. All right, we're talking about ASCAC, the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilizations. I've been a member of ASCAC for many years. When the brothers and sisters who I mentioned early before the break, Brother Ron Pounds and Brother Bill Taylor and their wives and many others who had gone to Kemet, it was a pilgrimage. And I'm quite sure the folks there didn't like it, but I don't give a damn, because what we were doing is just what ASCAC is about, to reclaim, recapture, and restore. You know? Great ASCAC members were known nationally, brother like Taki Ratan, who's an ancestor, brother Taki, did great work in Chicago, you know. So yeah, this is a great organization. It's an organization that pretty much dispelled the myth of a European Kemet or Europe. Like I said, When you really are sincere about this, then every time you see Egypt, and it depends upon the time frame, if it's antiquity, if it's pharaonic, it's Kemet. It's not Egypt. But if it's during the Greeks and beyond to present, it's Egypt. So that'll help you separate and give you a better perspective. Because those people presently today, and even from the Greeks beyond, are not Kemet. They are not Kemet. Greeks scholars and philosophers studied at the feet of the Kemites. Study at their feet. Socrates, who studied at the feet of Kemites, came back to Greece. They made him drink hemlock. They said, "Where are you bringing all these concepts, you know, poisoning the youth, the minds of our youth, and so forth?" They made him drink poison. Plato saw what was happening. He disappeared for a number of years, studying at the feet of Africans. Studying at the feet of the Kemites. Aristotle, who was the philosopher for Alexander, the so-called great, and then began to plagiarize, to begin to steal, to begin to put their names, to become the father of this and the father of that. Pythagoras. Theorem, that was thousands of years before he was even born. But they put their names on it, and they laid claim to it. That's why the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilization is so important. Just as I read to you why it was formed. It was formed because why? They had stolen. You know? So we reclaimed, we recaptured what has been stolen from us. And it is our duty to do so. It is our duty to do so. Yeah. Yeah, it's a beautiful page. Some of the great scholars and some of the great conferences that that we've had. And of course, the conference that is going to take place today and tomorrow and on Sunday. I gave you the the rundown. I'll do it again. So hopefully that if you can attend this weekend in Columbus, Columbus, Georgia, take I-85. If you're in the Atlanta area, wherever you've come from, is right off of I-85 or 185 in Columbus, Georgia, right on the border between Georgia and Alabama. The Association for the Study of Classical African Civilizations, Southern Region, Regional Conference, title is Deep Thought and Wisdom Teaching of Dr. Nana John Henry Clark, Past, Present, and Future. It's supposed to be at the George Washington Carver High School. I'm not sure if that's still going to be, but because that's because they're not having the reception that they were supposed to have this evening. But it's commemorating the 110th birth anniversary of Dr. John Henry Clark. And the hotel is the Marriott Hotel, which is on that border of Phoenix City Riverfront. And tomorrow is the presentations, and here's a rundown of the presentations. Even though today, I'm not sure if they're still having the online. If they are, I haven't seen the link. But we're going to have a drum call and libation. Sister McKinney McDonald's going to do the libation of the region, and then anthem, and then a welcome by our dear sister Reba Kelsey. And Marissa Clark's family, and then a video for the people, Dr. John Henry Clark. That's an interview with Brother Lester Velt Middleton. Brother Lester Velt Middleton. Yeah. If you go on YouTube and you put in Lester Velt Middleton, he'll come up with all these videos of interviews that he's done. He's interviewed the great scholars. It's well worth it to listen to the wisdom of these men and women. And so that closes out this evening. And then tomorrow, video. I'm not sure what it's going to be, the same video or not. I'm not sure. The drum call, and then libation, and then national anthem, and then another welcome by our sister Mariba Kelsey. Then plenary one is Brother Jihad Hood. If history is our clock, and the truth be told. Then plenary two, Dr. Sam Livingston from Morehouse College. And then plenary three, Dr. Catherine Adams of Claflin University in Columbus, Georgia. Lessons from, no, she's not, not in Columbus, Georgia. Where do we go? South Carolina, Claflin University. Even Brother Jehudi went to that conference, that SKS conference. Lessons from Dr. John Henry Clark and Sarah Mackenstacks. Then a collegiate panel for Claflin University in Orangeburg, South Carolina. Orangeburg, South Carolina. Thinking the impact of local organizing in South Carolina during the Civil Rights Movement. And remembering Kemet reflections from the 2023 study tour that they had, that the brothers and sisters from Claflin University in Orangeburg, South Carolina. And then right before lunch is going to be a high school panel. and that's going to KIPP, Collegiate High School, K-I-P-P, KIPP, in here in Atlanta. And I happen to be named after Dr. John Henry Clark. He's one of his relatives, Reclaiming Spirituality, Dr. Clark's Vision for Black Empowerment. And then sister's going to be doing Pan-African, Dr. Clark, and then Brother Jabari, Cultural and Social Change for Everyone. And Dr. Clark's role for history and social change. And then the plenary number 4, right before the lunch. Right before lunch is Dr. Mario Beatty, who is the president of ASCAC. He's the president of ASCAC. He's at Dr. Mario Beatty's at Howard University. Liberation Lessons from Dr. John Henry Clark's Africana Global Lens. Then there's lunch and a video will be played during that time. Then Plenary 5, Family Reflections. And you have people talking about it. You have his niece, grandniece, and great-niece, and one who's named after Dr. John Henry Clark, his nephew. That's Plenary 5, right after lunch. And then Plenary 6, The Importance of Dr. John Henry Clark's Views on Power of African Womanhood. That'll be given by Dr. Alethea Watkins, that's Mario's wife. Plenary 7th, STEM, Economics and Civilization, Julian Edmonds, a student at Columbus State University. Plenary 8, Dr. Chiki Akua, my brother here in Atlanta at Clark University. KEPRA, Ancient Kemetic Concepts in Education and Transformation. Plenary 9, Bernie Goldman of Columbia, South Carolina. Misplaced Medical Mistrust, Medicine and Eugenics, Slave Medicine and Eugenics. Plenary 10, my good friend, Dr. Heru. Donna John Henry Clark in Western Hemisphere. And the Plenary 11th, Brother Akil Parker out of Philadelphia, my good brother, who's the math man. All this math. If you go to YouTube, you can check him out, Brother Akil Parker. All this math. He's a great math teacher, has programs, and you can probably get some of the programs off of line. Dr. Clark taught me how Dr. Clark's teachings influenced my math teachings. Plenary 12, Kane Van de Grif. Brother Kane Van de Grif. The Africana Radical Tradition, Interior Lens of Self-Governance, Foundationally Shaped Emancipatory Initiative. Emancipatory. We'd hear that one. And then the last plenary, number 13, the first vice president, and many people have heard him and seen him, various programs, what's her name, Karen, Dr. Greg Carr, Greg Kamathi Carr, Dr. John Henry Clark versus everybody. Yeah. John Henry Clark versus everybody in the closing. And then, of course, like I said, on Sunday, a tour, some of historic sites in Columbus, Georgia, and then the graveyard, the gravesite ceremony with Dr. John Henry Clark. So, if you want to give us a call at 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. If any of you listeners who went on that great trip to Kemet, and I think it's 1986, and correct me if I'm wrong, and hundreds of us went there, and many of us who of course were changed by being able to witness those things for ourselves. I know that Brother Bamani Tayemba of Africa for the Africans, he has a trip for Kemet coming up, of course, this year. Going the last three or so years. You know, I took a trip to Kemet. Now, I got to really think on this. It's well over 10 years ago. You know, just before I came here to Atlanta. And sister put it, my good sister, Savannah, she's out of Chicago, and she put together a good trip. Brother Art Battles out of Orlando, Florida, because I put it out there to the firefighters, you know, and a couple of firefighters, Art Battles did, brother from Cleveland, you know. And he said, yeah, I can take that trip. And I like the idea to go to Kemet. And we had a great time. We had a great time. You know, we sailed down the Nile. You know, of course, we're at the museum. And, of course, I'd Zeta Watts. We didn't see his ass. And believe me, I'd have busted his ass out. Zeta Watts. But, in fact, he was still the chair of antiquities there in Kemet. He's no longer that, but you still see him. He's still quoted. He's still visible. and he's still adamant. No, they were not black. They were not black. The ancient divisions, they were not black. When all the evidence is in your face, and more importantly, the scholarly work of Dr. Sheikh Anta Jop and Dr. Theophilo Obinga. That's why you still see Dr. Obinga at the ASCAC conferences. I first saw him in Detroit. And I saw him again. Where was that conference? I don't remember. But, yeah, Dr. Theophilo Obinga and Dr. Sheikh Anta Jop, they were the only two at that conference in 1974 at the symposium. And they said, I prove to you that the ancient Kemetic people were African. Black, he had developed the melanin dosage test. You can extract the melanin from the mummies to determine how much melanin they had. And still today, the crack don't want to give it up in denial. And that's why we have to do this, family. That's why we have to do this. Because these folks, they never give up. They never give up on the lies that they tell. Give us a call. So you can be part of this conversation. Question is asked, why is it important to learn about African civilization? Why is it important? Because we challenge misconceptions. Historically, African civilization has often been marginalized or misrepresented in mainstream narratives. Studying these civilizations helps to challenge stereotypes and provide a more accurate and nuanced view of Africa's past. These folks lie. They cannot be trusted. They are liars. And here, because see, what did the European, and so many of our people still believe that today, here it is 2025, and our people still are not aware of all the great things that we have done. We've still been, many of our people still led to believe that we've never done nothing, that we were running around the jungle with a rag up our ass and a bone through our nose, never creating a civilization of any worth, of any kind, and nothing could be furthest from the truth. But that's what they want us to believe. And unfortunately, because some of us don't do research, some of us don't read, some of us don't listen to our scholars, our historians. You listen to the European, you listen to Urugu, because Urugu is pounding stuff into your head 24/7, 365. You're consistently bombarded with images and notions of your inability and your inferiority. That's why I do this program, family, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. That's why I do it, trying to put something on your mind. Because what you have been given, what you are experiencing, all the lies. Yeah. So I'm asking you to look at ASCAC, become a member of ASCAC. I know ASCAC usual national conference is in March. And it changes. That changes. But Yeah. So we're going to, so if you want to join this conversation, give us a call. We have a few of you in the queue, but of course you know what to do. Hit star twice and we can have conversation about ASCAC, the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilizations, and why that's important. Sometimes, you know, people always say that, why are you studying old stuff, you know? Because old stuff is the foundation. It lets you know where you are and where you still must go. Stand on that. And you got to know stuff because people lie. They lie on African people. They're constantly liars. They want you to believe that African people did nothing. So we have to reclaim, recapture, and restore what was stolen. Yeah. So, family, give us a call. You can have a conversation. What you want to talk about? It's Friday. It's Friday. I just like that piece. I played that piece many times, but that's a good Friday song, Steppin'. It's on Friday, you know. Weekend, living for the weekend. Johnny Kemp's Friday night. That's right. Just got paid. Hitting the streets. Yeah, I remember on Fridays when I worked at a foundry. You know, that dirty work, you know. And sometimes we'd get off early. Remember what happened one time, I don't know whether it was a breakdown or if it was too hot, whatever it was, we got off early. Man, showered up real quick. Had this brother drop me. I wasn't driving at the time. Had this brother drop me off at this bar. because I knew they were going to be jumping on Friday nights. In fact, I remember Bill Taylor, who I'd mentioned earlier. You know, he was there. He wasn't DJ, he's just being there and having a conversation with him and another good brother, my brother Shimmy. Ellis Turntime. He was a legend in Milwaukee. Lincoln High School. Great basketball player. I mean, he was just like Freddie Brown, who also went to Lincoln. Some of you may know, if you follow basketball, that Freddie Brown played for the Seattle Supersonics. Downtown Freddie Brown had unlimited range. In fact, they had the three-point then, which they did not. Imagine what he could have done. It's the same thing with Shimmy. He used to say, if he's in, even if he's in the parking lot, he's in range. That boy, yeah, strong wrist. Just like Hank Aaron. Hank Aaron, you know, was not a big man, but he had strong wrist and he had quick with the bat. That's why he became the home run king. Taking it from Babe Ruth in the 70s. And then, of course, although many people put an asterisk on the accomplishments of Barry Bonds because of steroid use, but Barry Bonds, even before then, would have got the, because he had the same thing, small stature, but very quick bat, strong wrist. Yeah. Yeah, Shimmy. Yeah, he died some years ago, too, a few years ago. Yeah. When you get up in the 70s, man, many people that you have known and had association with, you know, some hold on to a few years more. I know I was talking to my good friend Jim Wimbush. He's in the 80s. You know, me and him have traveled together for many, many places. Fellow firefighters, you know, been to Ghana many times together. Few other, we even went on that Cuban trip. Went to Cuba. Yeah. But yeah, he was just telling me about a few of the people who just made their transitions in Chicago that I knew. Yeah. When COVID hit, it really struck me because the number of people who had passed that I knew, that, you know, Conrad Wuerl out of Chicago, who was the chairperson of the National Black United Front for many years. The chairman now is Brother Kofi Taharka out of Houston. And, he succumbed. A couple brothers in Milwaukee. One brother who I went to school with was also a firefighter. He had some health challenges, and he was one of the first people in Milwaukee to perish. And another one who had left Milwaukee was a police officer. And he came back to Milwaukee to check on some property that he had and contracted it. And he passed. Both of them passed very quickly, unfortunately. Yeah. COVID took a number of our people. And, of course, the president at the time was the one that's in there now, that idiot, and said a lot of foolish things. You know... Analyzing all the stupid shit this man has done, there should be no way in hell that this man should be president again. It's unbelievable, man. I tell you, that's why I hate this country. That's why I can't wait to get up out of here. I cannot wait to get up out of here. Anyway, family, you give us a call. We still have some minutes left. You know, we talked about ASCAC, the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilizations, and we talked about a number of other things. Give us a call. Yeah. K can't have dead silence on radio. That's something that you shouldn't do. You always got to have something happening. If your ass ain't talking, then put on some music. Then put on some music. Do something. You can't have dead silence on radio. But you can on internet radio, because it's not, a lot of times it's not. Unless, of course, your internet channel and your internet program is being paid for. And that's the case. Then you better, you know. Good afternoon. What's up, Jay? How are you, brother?
I'm good, man. I'm just getting that opportunity to tune into the show, man. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm well.
What's the good word?
Well, I talked about ASCAC. I'm on my way to ASCAC after I got off the radio program, the Southern Region. And I know you know ASCAC.
Where is it at?
It's going to be. It's going to be in.
I think if the one at City College, and I think the late 80s or the early 90s, I was at the first one.
Okay. Yeah. That's when it was.
I'm going. Yeah. Because it was at City. I think it was at City College.
Okay.
Yeah. I remember those.
Sure.
Those were the golden days. They had on Saturdays a lecture series at this church on 145th and Convent. Marcus could. I don't know if Marcus would know about it, but I think Marcus would know about it. And at that church, I think I saw every elite scholar. At the time there, I think I saw Van Sertima there. I know I saw Ben and Clark, and I'm not sure, but I think Francis Quest Wellesley was there.
Sure.
Everybody that was any and everybody was at that church on Saturdays, man. It was a heck of a community. You know, most people would be in African garb and all of that. It was just a real serious place. So yeah, man. But you know, other than that, man, that's it, man. What is your observation on what's going on with them picking these people up, man, and how you think it's gonna turn out?
You mean the people who are immigrants?
Man, immigrants. They picking the so-called illegals or whatever the hell you want to call them.
Yeah.
How is that going to turn out, you think?
You know what? It's all going to be ugly. It's all going to be very ugly, man. You know, when the Caucasian woman, Bishop, at the inaugural said what she said to him and looked at him dead in the face, and he looked at her and had to turn away that ugly ass Trump. But he said, this is what Jesus was about. And you could profess in this, you know, bringing in immigrants, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, all that kind of thing. Trump ain't all about that. Trump was an evil man.
No.
He is an evil man. You know?
But the thing is, he's the sad thing is, he's evil, but he's also a puppet. And the thing is, like, I've heard a lot of people say that these so-called executive orders that he's signed and everything, he ain't read none of them. And I agree with that.
He don't read.
I agree with that because he doesn't read.
He doesn't read.
And the thing is that sometimes the mistake that people like him and white people make is they overplay their hand. And in the process of overplaying their hand, it wakes up a segment of the people to get them to start to realize that what's being done to them, I ain't going for it. That's why I think it's going to be real, real interesting on how he tries to justify these tax cuts. And then it'll also show you if the people have any type of power whatsoever, those that are at the lower echelon of society, mm-hmm. in regards to when he tries to cut all of these programs so that he could give the so-called rich money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the thing that'll really show if there's gonna be any fight back in this country in regards to his wickedry, because you know he's hurting more white folks than he's hurting black folks, but the sad thing is they don't understand it, and the chances are that maybe a free will wake up and see that, hey, I'm getting screwed in this equation, and nah, I don't want to get screwed in this equation. I just want black people to be suffering and others being suffering, not me, because you're supposed to take care of me. And the way it's going now, it don't seem like white folks benefit from this shit.
No, they're not, and they're not. They're not going to. It's just like why this country refused to enact health care for all, like other Western countries have it. Social, you know, medicine. They don't have, this country doesn't have it because why? They didn't want to, if you gave it to all, they had to give it to us. And they did not want us to have health care. And so America, it is said, and it's understandable, that it has the best healthcare money can buy. So if you got money, there are people who come from places in Europe, even in Canada and so forth, where healthcare is available to them, but the kind of healthcare that they can get here if they got money is different. You see, they can go to the Mayo Clinic, you know, Johns Hopkins, whatever, the Cleveland Clinic, all of these famous places, Northwestern University Hospital, you know, research hospitals and so forth, that they can't go in their countries where they have socialized medicine. So those who have it, you know, they recognize too that America has the best health care that money can buy. But Americans here, they don't have it. They don't have it. And only way they can access it if they have the money. If they have the money.
Or you dirt poor because the reality in this country, and I'm seeing it by observation, is you either gotta have money or you ain't got no money to make it to whereas you can get any type of services in this country. And when they take it to the point to whereas ain't nobody gonna benefit from nothing in the country, how does the country move forward? It's not like this country is really moving forward. You know, my thing right now is, what are black people gonna do to survive? I mean, quietly, they shut down, or they so-called said that, and you got to listen to it and understand. They're saying if you're part of the government and you think that somebody in the government was hired because of DEI, they want you to report it so that they can remove the person from
Do you understand that
type of madness? So that means I could call up on Ochi and say, Ochi, I think this Negro was hired because he's black.
Yeah.
Now, what do you mean by that? Listen to his name, Ochi. that's you know, one of those Shabadada people Negro's name. Mm. So, you know, in the sickness of the situation now they're going to say, well, Ochi, you're blah, 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 blah. You're suspended with pay, and now we're going to do an investigation, and we're going to find out if this Negro was hired on the DEI premise, and if he was, we're going to let his black ass go.
Yeah.
Now think about that, bro.
Oh, it's serious, brother.
This is happening right in front of your eyes. What you going to do?
Jay, this is some Gestapo ass shit that's about to go down, man. It really is. But, it's sad.
Hey, listen.
It's really sad.
Do this. Look at it, observe it, put it in the context, and let's figure out what are we going to do on a collective to deal with it. Now you see really, really, really what the Negro supposedly leadership is about. Because yeah. Perm Daddy, I heard something the other day. I didn't stop to really listen to it or anything. He talking about boycotting now. I ain't never heard that nephew Tom talk about boycotting. Hey, you gotta hurt them where the money's at, baby. That's the only thing the white man understands other than death is money.
Yeah.
So the reality is this. This is the reality. You got to pick a company and you got to break their back. You got to get black people to understand that, listen, you may need to stay out of Target or they need to stay out of Walmart or some place where you make supposedly a difference. Mm-hmm. So that
right, with
there
their business.
Could be some sort
right.
of assistance to all. Because listen,
I think it's more so Walmart. I think it's more right. so Walmart, but Target's
yeah.
another one. But listen, Jay, I got to run.
Yeah,
I got some other callers.
Someone else, brother.
Okay.
And hey, to Irv, we gonna be all right next year.
Oh yeah, Baltimore's
Kansas
gonna be good.
City's gonna save you.
Yeah.
We're gonna get redemption for
That's
you.
That's right. I hope right, so. Irv? All right, dear brother.
All right,
take
my
care.
Brother.
All right, have a good weekend, Jay. Mama Nabantu, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm trying to decide whether I'm coming down or not
okay.
to the AFCAP
okay.
conference.
Well, I hope you do. I'm going to leave after the program and make it down to ASCAC. Me and Brother Kwaku and my lady,
mm-hmm.
we're going to do that and join in mm-hmm. on the festivities. Yeah. So
it's about... Is it a
2-hour
drive?
Yeah, 2-hour, yep. I associate it with, like, driving to Chicago from Milwaukee. That's for me, because I'm from Milwaukee. Driving to Chicago. It's an hour and a half,
oh, yeah,
hour, 40-hour drive.
Trip, yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, I hope you do. Hope I see you then, okay?
All right, okay.
All right. Thank you, Mama Nabantu.
All right.
Yeah, hope I see you. Good afternoon. Good morning. Good evening.
Good afternoon. Good evening. Good morning. Wherever you are around the world.
That's right.
And thank you, Baba Olchi, for taking my call. How are you today?
I'm well, my brother. What about you?
Well, alive and kicking, giving thanks for life always.
Right on. Right on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Baba John Henry Carr is a formidable intellect,
yeah,
an intellectual,
yeah,
who left us with a great deal of work. So it's only right that there's what's happening and where you're going is done. It's
yes.
a beautiful thing, and it's
yeah.
you know, we must do these things.
Yeah.
We must do these
well,
things.
Well,
if
anybody who knows me, they know that of all our historians, and I love them all, but I have a special place for Dr. John Henry Clark. I had the opportunity through ASCAC. It wasn't at a conference. It was he was visiting in Indianapolis at the Indiana Black Expo. It wasn't at an ASCAC conference, and I had the opportunity to have lunch with Dr. John Henry Clark. What a privilege! What an honor! You know, a great man. Of course, he was going blind. He was blind at the time, and I think the last time I seen him was in Detroit, and he made his transition not too long after that. But a great scholar, and you know, his documentary that was produced by Wesley Snipes, A Great and Mighty Walk. I believe you can get that on YouTube if you haven't seen it, brothers and sisters and who are listening. A Great and Mighty Walk, Wesley Snipes is on YouTube, and I believe you can. But if not, man, try to go through one of the streaming services that you may have. But it's a documentary that you definitely need to check out. And there's others. I remember his debate. In fact, one of the plenary sessions and with Dr. Clark, you know, and I remember him having a debate. In fact, it's really Dr. Gray Kamathi Carr's 13th plenary session, Dr. John Henry Clark versus everybody. But I remember debating Mary Lefkowitz, you know, who had a thing that's, no, it's, you know, there, it's not out of Africa that Africans didn't do what these ASCAC people are claiming that they did. No, yes, they did. I think that's why it's important that we have a scholarship that is real and that is truthful, that is honest, that is well-researched, because theirs isn't. They lied, you know, and we're here to justice scales, as it should be, to righteousness. So, and that, you know, Dr. John Henry Clark wasn't no joke, man. So that's what I'm saying for you, you to read him, if you can listen to him. I mean, Paul, I remember when I was back in Milwaukee, about 20-some years ago, I had a cassette player in my car, and I would have, you know, listen to Dr. John Henry Clark, and I loved to hear him talk. That southern drawl he had, man, this is an informing, very informing, and I should listen to him a lot, all the time. And so that's why I'm a great proponent of Dr. John Henry Clark, his teachings and his information. So, yeah, I agree with you.
Yes, bro. And obviously, I have never met him, but I've seen stuff on the internet and read a vast amount about. And he came across to me as a type of person. He didn't really take no prisoners,
right?
And he, I don't know, was he really like that, or
yes.
I mean, he didn't come across.
Yes,
he didn't come across as a person who was. He seemed to really understand his his discipline and. He didn't want to compromise on it at all. He knew his stuff. That's how he came across.
No, he was direct. He was direct, and he came up through the times prior to the 60s, you know, and he was one of the leading scholars coming up through that. Dr. Joseph Ben Jochanan, Dr. John G. Jackson, Dr. Chancellor Williams. I know you love Chancellor Williams. You know, I know you reference him.
You know, Baba Ochi, can I slightly correct you? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm always curious of this word love, yeah? And I've explained to you why I'm curious of it. I know people use it a lot, and they might be strange for me to say that. I'm really curious with this word love. Sometimes you watch these programs, like these programs, and you see these killers and like they'll kill their partner. They'll say to them, "Did you love the person?" And they say, "Yeah." You know, you see it a lot of time, you know. They always say, did you love him?
Yeah. Like
if the woman killed the man, they say, "Did you love him?" And she says, "Yeah."
Oh, so, Paul!
I'm very curious of this word love. You know,
I hear you, brother. I agree with you.
I get a bit suspicious, man. But anyway, putting that aside, right? You know what I'm saying is that Chancellor Williams. You know what Chancellor Williams did for me? What he's really done for me? A lot of the thoughts that was going through my head, a lot of things I was seeing, and my experiences in life. I'm a very deep thinker, very analytical, and many of the times I weren't getting the answers. and I spoke to a lot of people, and I would just not get any answers. And you know, joining groups, sure. and speaking to people I respected, and I wasn't feeling what they were saying 100%, mm-hmm. but I still give them respect. It's when I read his work, I found so much. When you read something you've been looking for, it's just, you just keep reading it, and I'm still reading it. Even now, because what it is, I've got it on a brother done an audio thing, so I've got it on a tablet, and I'm at the point now. I've realized that I have to break, because he's like, he's talking from the grave. This is how he gets mm-hmm. me. Mm-hmm. At the end of the book, he tells you what needs to be done. He tells you all the mistakes which have been made. And mm-hmm. what he's talking about from the grave is happening today. And I'm like, wow. Right. Exactly what he's saying in his time is happening today. My only concern is, how the hell is it still happening mm-hmm. when these people have dedicated, not all of these people, all the people you mentioned have dedicated their life. So how the hell are we making the same mistakes? That's what troubles me, Baba Ochi. Because mm-hmm. it's almost mm-hmm. as if we're not learning nothing. It's almost as if we're not paying attention. It's almost as if we're not really, we're just talking, but the reality of it is a lot of these people have dedicated their life to this work.
Right.
And they know what they're talking about. And so how are we still making the same mistakes? And that's what bothers me more than anything.
Right.
It suggests there's something wrong.
Yeah, I
hear suggests you. There's something fundamentally wrong. You know, so that's what Chancellor Willis did for me. But John mm-hmm. Henry Clark is the same. We stand on the shoulders of giants. They dedicated their total life to the cause, and so we shouldn't be making some of the mistakes we're making shouldn't be happening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree.
So I raised them up, and you know, thank you for just continuing the work. And,
thank you, my brother.
And dedicating to their memory.
Right.
That's
on.
Good thing. So please.
All right. Thank you, Brother Paul. Appreciate you, man. You have a good weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Peace. We end this program like we end all of our programs, but before I do that, and I'm going to say that, I want you to hear a few words of Dr. John Henry Clark.
First, we have to stop dealing with illusion. We cannot ask the people who programmed us into oblivion to program us out of it. So far as I'm concerned, education has but one honorable purpose, one alone. Everything else is nonsense. And that is to train the student to be a respectful and a responsible handler of power. People do not train you in how to take their power away from them when they hold power by controlling you. To expect this of other people is a contradiction in terms. Freedom is something you do not wish upon, you do not dream upon. Freedom is something you take with your own hands. It is never secure until you take it with your own hands. Mm-hmm. You do not leave it for another generation. Each generation must in turn secure it with their own hands, even if you leave it to them in a will. It is not secure until they make it secure with their own hands, their own bodies, and their own minds. And so long as we avoid this reality, someone else is going to dictate the content of education. And when people dictate the content of education, they're dictating what goes into your mind. And when they dictate that, they're going to dictate agitation. They're going to dictate your action. And though you might lie about it, so long as you are in this position, you are some form of a slave. And it is incumbent upon you to free yourselves from it. You educate yourself to come out of it and do not expect others to do it for you. We stop begging at the door of people who reduced us to beggars.
I say, Dr. John Henry Clark. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell, damn it, don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful weekend. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahardier. Bibi Fahardier means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful weekend, and I hope to see you back here on Monday. Peace, family.